Thank you, choir, for singing that song. I've been listening to it in the car all week long. Catherine gave Angela a CD and a book and said, here, learn this week so you can help the choir sing. So every time we've gone to therapy or wherever we've gone, we've been listening to that song, and I have enjoyed it. I'd like for you this morning, if you would, to turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter number 2. Now, full disclosure this morning, I had every intention Monday morning, this past Monday morning, of going on over to the book of 3 John. Y'all know we've been studying in 1 John. We've just concluded 2 John, and I thought, well, we're just going to go on over to 3 John. And I actually had the message prepared for this morning. But the more I thought about it as the week went along, it just seemed like I needed to do something different this morning. And so I went to a passage in the Psalms and started reading and working. And every time I would try to make a point or get a scripture reference, I'd always go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I thought, well, maybe that's where I need to be this morning. Well, if you're one of those who takes notes, you might notice that this time last year, I preached from 1 Peter chapter number 2. But I want to assure you, this morning, the passage is the same. The truth is the same, but it is not the same sermon, okay? And I can prove that, not right this second, but later. I can show you the message that I preached. But this is just the reason, this is the place that I felt like God led me to go this morning. This is where I wound up, okay? So I want to share some thoughts with you this morning from this passage of Scripture. Now, let me ask you a question while I've got your attention. Is America a Christian nation? Is America a Christian nation? Well, I learned a long time ago that when someone asks you a question like that, you need to define your terms. And someone would ask me a question like that, I would say, what do you mean by Christian nation? In fact, I would even go further. I would say, what do you mean by Christian? Because people have different ideas as to what it means to be a Christian. Here's what I know. From a historical standpoint, it is obvious that this nation has had predominantly Christian leanings from the very beginning. As I was listening to someone preach this past week, they mentioned this. They said that all of the 13 original colonies acknowledged Christianity as true in some form, even though some of them did not have an established Christian religion, they had the presupposition that Christianity was true. From a constitutional viewpoint, the U.S. government was designed to guide a population operating under a predominantly Judeo-Christian worldview, and it shows clear evidence of influence from that faith tradition. In fact, President John Adams said this: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other people. Historically and constitutional wise, the case can be made. From a cultural standpoint, however, Folks, there's nowhere in the world anybody with one eye and half sense can look at what's going on today and say that this nation is a Christian nation. You would have to be extremely naive to believe that today's acceptance of all things immoral and unbiblical could mean anything other than outright rejection of the Word of God. It is just shocking where we find ourselves in the United States of America today. This should not be surprising, though, considering the following. Recent Gallup survey said that 20% of Americans attend church every week. Only 20%. 41% of Americans are in monthly church attendance. 57% of Americans seldom or never or are never in any religious service of any kind. The conclusion is that regular church attendance has steadily declined since the turn of the century. And it's only getting progressively worse. So when someone asks me today, are we in a Christian nation? I have to say, well, let's define what you mean by Christian nation. There's always been disagreement over this question, and there always will be. I do know this, that being a Christian has never been a requirement for living here. You don't have to be a Christian to live in the United States of America. And I also know that some of our founding fathers held beliefs that run contrary to what the Scripture teaches. Even though you find the Bible referred to in antiquity, as far as the United States of America is concerned, not everyone held to what you and I would consider orthodox Christian views and values. But there's no doubt that the Bible has had an impact in the past on the United States of America. And this is true. The concept of truth, the concept of justice, the concept of righteousness, the concept of liberty, peace, and mercy are concepts that are derived from no other place than from the Word of God. We would not know what these things are were it not for the Word of God. And I believe with all of my heart that the nation who walks in these things is a nation that will be blessed. There is no doubt that the United States of America has enjoyed multiplied blessings from God. I do believe that this nation was raised up for a purpose by God. All nations are raised up by God. And the United States is no exception. And we were raised up by God, I believe, for a purpose. I believe the United States of America, among all the nations, has been a unique nation. I also know that no matter what one's opinion of this country is, there have always been multitudes of Christians living here who promote godliness and a desire to see God recognized and reverenced for who He is. There are many who acknowledge God as the Supreme King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's always been good. There has always been bad. So for me this morning, the question is America a Christian nation is not really the issue. Because as I say, we can go back and forth on that. What I do see is that in the midst of all of the wickedness, in the midst of all of the corruption, God here in the United States of America does have a witness for His name. Folks, God, listen to me, because I'm getting where I'm going. God does have a Christian nation. A Christian nation does exist. Now, look, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a what? A holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I've given this message this morning the title, and may God add His blessings to the reading of His word. I've given this message this morning the title, What Our Nation Needs to Know. Now I want you to understand there, that's a double meaning, a double entendre, as they call it. Yes, I am referencing the United States of America. I'm referencing any nation. But in our context, it's the United States of America that needs to know something. But I'm talking about another nation, one in which all who are redeemed are a part of, and that is the body of Christ. Our nation needs to know some things. And what we need to know, we get from the Word of God. Now again, I started off in a different direction as far as the passage is concerned. And there are a lot of passages that I could have used this morning. But this one just seemed to be where I needed to land. So from this passage of Scripture, I want to share with you five things. I know that's going to take a few minutes for some of you, a few minutes. Five, Brother Steve? Yes. Five. Five things that our nation needs to know. Number one, Christians are different people. Okay? Now, you see what Peter wrote here in verse number 9 about being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Okay? Where did that come from? That actually came out of the Old Testament. Because these were the words that God spoke to the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter 19... Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, we read this. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Well, what happened? Well, God said, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, these things will be true. They didn't obey his voice. They did not keep his covenant. And so we find that today, the church fits the bill. These words are used to describe of the body that you and I are a member of if we are Christians. And it means that you're different. And I'm different. You see, when he says a chosen generation there, verse 9, that means those who are object of God's grace. It refers to a people or to a race who are similar in interests, habits, and characteristics. Matthew Henry said this, all true Christians are a chosen generation. They all make one family, a sort and species of people distinct from the common world, of another spirit, principle, and practice, which they could never be if they were not chosen in Christ to be such and sanctified by his Spirit. You are chosen by God to be a member of his body. You were chosen. You did not decide to join. He calls them a royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means that you're a priest. And as a priest, you have access to the Father. You are able to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. You do not need a mediator other than the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. You don't have to go to a man. You don't have to go to a confessional box somewhere. You can go straight to the throne to obtain mercy in time of need. And your life can be a life of sacrifice to God every single day. You don't need to go to a certain building and bring an animal. Your life is to be a sacrifice to God. You're different. A holy nation. He says here, the word holy means that you're set apart. And the word nation translates the Greek word ethnos. It's where our word ethnic comes from. And it speaks of people as an ethnic group. And it refers to a community of people that are held together by the same laws, same customs, and same mutual interests, i.e. the word of God. This is our God. You're just different. You don't care what culture says. You don't care what the latest trend is. You don't care what attracts the masses. What you care about is living set apart unto the one who called you out. His own special people. Verse 9. I love the King James Version. That's my favorite translation. It just says, you are peculiar people. That's good. You peculiar. People ought to look at you whenever you behave the way you behave and you do the things that you do and you set yourself apart and you refuse to be involved in what the masses are doing. They ought to look at you and say, well, that's peculiar. The actual idea behind this word is to make a circle around something and to mark it as one's own. In other words, God drew a circle around his people and he says, my people. Bless God, we may not be perfect, but we're his people. You notice what he says here in verse 10. He says, one time you were not a nation, but now you are. Why? Because you obtained mercy. That's the only reason. You didn't force your way into this nation. You didn't bribe your way. God chose you and gave you mercy so that you could belong. Our nation needs to know that. Our nation this morning needs to know this is who you are. You are a different people. You are a different person. And those folks out there need to know we're different and we're not ashamed of it. America, it is true that God shed his grace on thee. There's no doubt. America has been a mighty instrument used by a mighty God. I believe that. Not that we were so mighty, it's just that we're in the hands of a mighty God. However, biblically speaking, America is not God's chosen people, or his holy nation, or his own special people, because God already has a chosen people, a holy nation, a special people, and it's called the church. So we're not, even though we acknowledge America, we acknowledge the 4th of July, we are grateful for that, we dare not wrap the Bible in the American flag. The Bible and the cross stands on its own. Because we're different. We're designed to be. Second thing I'll say, Christians have a particular purpose. Verse 9, what is that purpose? To proclaim the praises of God. Christians are the ones charged with leading in God's praise. Folks, stop expecting government and government officials to do what the church has been called to do. It's not the government's job. Government is ordained of God. I believe that with all of my being. It's biblical. But you and I are the ones who are charged with taking the message to the masses. And it seems like we forget that sometimes. Our nation needs to know, the United States of America, they need to realize, hey, listen, when we sing praises, when we lift up the name of Jesus, that's what we're called to do. So we are called to proclaim the praises. The word proclaim means to advertise. That's the idea behind the word. We're to go out and advertise to everyone. Jesus is Lord. There is only one God, and He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. He will rule and reign forever, and His word is the only word that matters. We are to proclaim His praises. Some of your translations may use the word excellencies. And that is a correct translation. It speaks of His wonderful deeds. It speaks of His virtues. And like I said, His excellencies. This means that we don't just speak about how virtuous and holy and pure and righteous God is, but we also proclaim the gospel message and how that God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ. That means that we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach Jesus as the only way to heaven. We preach holy living in response to a holy God who has saved us. That is our particular purpose. To praise God to proclaim him, to advertise him, to tell the multitude about him. Our nation needs to know that. They need to understand that. Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. And what does that mean? As an ambassador, and you probably understand this, an ambassador of a country goes, one country goes to another country, and he represents the interest of the country that he comes from and its leaders. And that ambassador, when he goes to that other country, it is not up to him to change what has been said. It is up to them to relate what has been said. It is not up to you and I as ambassadors of Christ to change the message. We simply proclaim the message. We are not allowed to revise or deconstruct the message. That is not our job. In the United States of America today, that happens daily. Even among our pulpits in this day and age, we have people who are deconstructing the Christian message. They are revising the Christian message to make it more palatable to this world. That's sin. We need to know that. Our nation needs to understand that. Third thing. Listen to me close. Christians don't cure darkness. They are called out of it. Christians don't cure darkness. They are called out of it. Verse 9, who called you out. We proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. See, folks, understand me. Now listen. Darkness will always be darkness. That's its nature. If darkness is not darkness, call it something else. Darkness will always be dark. Darkness cannot be cured, but it can be replaced with light. See, folks, listen. You can offer education. You can offer legislation. You can offer medication. Dark will always be dark. We can't buddy-buddy with the darkness of this world. We can't tolerate and try to be relevant, you know, get next to those walking in darkness so that somehow we might can cure them. Let me tell you something, folks. People who are in sin don't need to be cured. They need to be saved. But somehow, we think this day that if we can get the right people in the right places, if we can make the right decisions, if we can get the world's attention, maybe we can get them to under, you know, to a better place. You know, we're just trying to get people, just trying to get them to a better. You ever heard somebody say, I just need to get to a better place? What you need to do is get out of darkness and into the light. Now you notice what happened here? He said, you have been called out of darkness. You can't make it happen yourself. You have been chosen to come out of darkness and into the light. Of course, these days, I need to be preaching the message on exactly what darkness is. Because people don't even believe what's darkness is darkness anymore. And the only way you will ever know what darkness is, and when I speak about darkness here, I'm talking about moral darkness. I'm talking about walking in lostness, walking contrary to the commands of God, walking according to the ways of the world and not the ways of God. The only way you're ever going to get out of that is that the Holy Spirit of God will have to come to you and bring conviction to you that what you're doing is sin. And He will call you out of it and into His light. But let's not think we can counsel our way out of darkness. Let's not think of a therapy that we can go to get out of darkness. Let's not think of some way we can make the darkness not so dark. It will always be dark. The only way to get out of it is you have to be delivered. Darkness must be replaced with something. And that something is light. And I want to tell you something. Our nation needs to understand that. Believers need to understand that today. We need to stand firm on this message and not back down. If you live contrary to what the Word of God teaches, you're living in darkness. That nation out there doesn't understand it. We're having a hard time understanding in here sometimes. But our nation needs to know it. It needs to know it. We cannot compromise with darkness. That's not the way to win the battle. So far, what have we said? Christians are different people. Second of all, Christians have a particular purpose. Third, Christians don't cure darkness. They are called out of it. Number four, Christians are not at home in this world. Isn't it interesting that you belong to a land that you've never seen? Isn't it exciting? Isn't it interesting that you get excited when you start singing about heaven is? And you get excited. You know, I've never even seen the place. I've never been there. But I can't wait to go. You know why? Because you've been called out of darkness into light. And if you're a Christian, you can't feel at home in this world. Notice what Peter says here. He says, we are sojourners. There, verse 11. Which means that we are only here for a little while. So don't get too comfortable. He calls us pilgrims here in verse 11. That word describes one who makes a brief stay in a strange or foreign place. One who sojourns, which means to stay temporary, or one who resides temporarily among a native people to whom he or she does not belong. The Bible says you don't belong. This world's not your home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'd tell you the rest of it, but I can't remember it right now. So it's not in my notes. Bless God, I'm going to a land one day where memory won't be a problem. Folks, as a believer, listen. And our nation needs to understand this. Our Christian nation and our political nation, the United States of America. You and I, listen to me. You and I are out of place down here. In terms of our values and our ideas and our philosophies and our, you and I are out of place. And it should bother us regularly when we get too comfortable and we get too cozy with this world down here. I realize I preached a message this past Sunday night. While we're here, we have to build in this world. We have to work in this world. We have to do business in this world. And guess what? This world, this is its home turf, not ours. And so we must function within this world all the time. I understand that. That is why when Jesus left, he told the disciples, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm coming back. And you will have my spirit. And he will enable you to be able to walk in such a way that pleases the Father. To walk in such a way that stands out from everyone else. It's a shame that so often the lure of the world, the pressure from the outside is stronger than that which is on the inside of the believer. And it's not really stronger, but it's just that we just get too cozy with the world. And we can't do that. You are out of place in this world, Christian. You are, yes. We live in a great nation. Much has been sacrificed for this nation. And I will never take that for granted. And I don't want to ever be thankful for that. But this nation is not my final home. And even here in the United States of America, particularly the culture that we find ourselves in today, I feel less and less comfortable. As we should. Did y'all know that you're not, this world's not your home? Did y'all know that? Number five. Y'all didn't think I'd get here this quick. I know y'all didn't. Christians care more about honoring God than anything else. The true Christian cares more about honoring God than anything else. Again, even though we are not of this world, we still live in this world. So Peter goes on here in verse 11, and he says, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Our lusts or fleshly? Now, I like the way that Peter says it here, and James also alludes to this over in James chapter 4. I want to blame the world and the devil. The Bible tells me that my lusts are right here. I don't need the devil's help to lust. I don't need the world's help to lust. It's here, and I am to abstain from those things as a pilgrim and a sojourner who is representing another land, who is not comfortable here in this land. I need to abstain from the things that everybody in this world does and is okay with. Peter goes on to say, they'll find fault with you. The world will find fault with you. But you are to live in such a way on that day of visitation. And it's probable that what Peter is saying there is that in that day of visitation is the day when God will visit them with salvation. But in that day, they will not glorify you. They will not glorify me. They will glorify God. Because you see, that's what's most important. God being glorified. Not me being glorified. Not First Newark being glorified. But God being glorified. And our nation needs to understand that. We got too much stinking pride in our churches today. There's some people can strut sitting down. Full of themselves. It's all about me. It's all about my. Look at what I've done. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him. And it always will be about Him. So I can assert my rights. I can assert my thoughts. I can just be Steve. I'm just going to let everybody know what I think and what I want. Or I can back up and I can say, God, you be glorified. And all things that I do. Those of you that serve, are you serving so that God can be glorified? Come on now. You deacons, whether you're active or whether you're inactive right now, which, by the way, that's kind of an oxymoron, an inactive deacon. I mean, that's like saying a servant that's not serving, because that's the idea. Do you deacon for the glory of God? You teachers, those of you that are teaching, are you teaching for the glory of God? You musicians, are you making music for the glory of God? Us preachers, are we preaching for the glory of God? Us Christians that are going out as ambassadors, are we going out as ambassadors so that God might be glorified? Or do some people say, man, what a fine person that is. What a fine, upstanding community leader he is. Man, that's a great lady right there. No, all praise, all glory goes to God. Our nation needs to know that. Because we forget. The American nation doesn't know that. They're lost. I mean, I saw this morning on one of the podcasts that I watched, just a little short clip this morning. There's a singer, well-known singer. Well, some of y'all might not know because y'all up speed on some of that, and all I know is by name, but has actually a song out now that is promoting pro-choice. And folks, do not listen to this song. It is profanity laced, promoting pro-choice. And I sit there and I think, man, I can't believe that. And then I think, yeah, I can. And so you know what I do? I curse the darkness. What good has that ever done? Why should I be surprised? Lost people acting like lost people. I mean, come on. Ain't nobody here but us and the Lord, all right? Sometimes we Christians act like lost people. Christians are concerned more than anything else in the world about God being glorified. That should be what drives us every single day. Whether we're at church, whether we're in the marketplace, whether we're at home, whether we're at the ball field, we want God to be glorified. They need to know that, and we need to know that. The believer is a citizen of two worlds. The Bible says, Paul said, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where your citizenship is. And so my question today for myself and for all of us in here, is that the way we act? Listen, enjoy 4th of July. Have your barbecues. Go shoot your fireworks. You know, about 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning, you can stop if you want to. For those of us that like sleep, go do that. Go enjoy. Thank God for where you've had the privilege to live. But know this. You have a higher calling as a believer than even as a United States citizen. You have a call to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And though they throw you in jail, though they put you to death, you will not be silent. You will live for His glory. You will represent Him. And you will do everything in the world you can to see that light comes into a dark place. This nation needs to know that's who we are.